Right.
Welcome to the last episode of That's Movies, Brother.
The last one. We did it. We talked about all 55 movies.
Is this episode 55?
Yeah. Should be, according to my calculations.
Can we just say that at the beginning of every episode? Welcome to the last episode of... In one of these days, it'll be right.
One time we'll be right. Well, you think we'll know.
Because it's one of those things where you always want to... You never want... It's one of those like cliche things where the last time, you never know it's the last time.
I'm not going to stop this podcast until Joe Rogan stops.
Well, he's older than us. So in theory of just regular life expectancy, if nothing else terrible happens...
Yeah, he's much healthier than me.
We might be alive longer than him. My point is... It's one of those, you know, things where you never know it's the last time while you're doing it. But that this way, everyone knows. Mm-hmm. They might not believe it, but they can't say we didn't tell them that it was ending. You know what I mean? I'm getting really dour like we are ending the podcast. Welcome to the last episode of That's Movies, Brother.
I'm not stopping this show until someone lets me host another show.
So you're saying once you get a job on another podcast, you're going to leave me? Is that what I'm hearing?
I was thinking of like a TV show, like if someone lets me host Fear Factor. I'm just trying to be Joe Rogan in reverse.
An upgrade?
Start with the podcast
and
end with Fear Factor.
You want me to reach out to Matt Eisman and see if you can host American Ninja Warrior?
Tonight!
That was the loudest. That is the biggest waveform I've seen on us doing this podcast.
I have to turn that down, man.
I'm so sorry for everyone wearing headphones.
But I mean, I could do it.
Or everyone just driving because that might have created so much vibration you went off the road.
Your wheels just rattled off.
Derail.
Are you ever worried about that when you're driving? Just like weird things happening to your car? Like it has to happen to somebody where like a wheel just pops off.
I've had the thought of like
I've had this happen to me, it's but almost like your brakes won't work all of a sudden.
Well, I have like almost the thought of just like how much control you have over such like a powerful thing. Like literally all I have to do is this. And your car flips.
Right. Yeah, I think about that all the time. Like, that's like a didn't we look this up once where that's like a scientific thing? I'm really showing
like,
here.
everything go like horribly
morbid,
like that.
It's like morbid curiosity, but there's like a special name for it. It's like if you're on a cliff, all you can think about is like you kind of have like there's like a slight urge in you where it's like jump.
I don't know if urge is the right word.
It's very slight, but it's just, you know, you think about jumping even though you don't want to jump.
Think about jump, but do not go jump. Do stay on ground. Do not jump. Think jump. Do not jump.
Monkey brain activated.
Your brakes just stopped working once. That was fun.
Yeah.
And you call me, you're like, Tyler,
bring me brake fluid.
Bring me home. At that point, I think we were living together.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Oh, God. What terrible
times. Okay, sorry. Let's not touch on that, I guess.
Never live with this guy.
It was
the best time of my life.
And were you... Yeah, okay. I was trying to remember this situation because you were on like a downhill slope.
Yep.
And you're going to pull your e-brake and it's like...
That's legit what it sounded like.
In the middle of the neighborhood, at the bottom of this hill is the end of the neighborhood onto like a...
highway.
I was going to say busy road. I wouldn't really call it busy because
it's not like interstate, but it was a highway. It was like...
but
it was
not
one
like
of the bigger ones.
Not like Highway 34 where it's like if you go on that road, you're probably going to get hit.
What's the one in Fayetteville? Because that's the one it was, wasn't it?
All I know is there was a road.
Yeah. And cars frequent it.
And
a school bus drove by and it had to like go around because I was kind of in the middle of the neighborhood road. You know, I wasn't like in a lane. And so like all these like high school kids were like from the windows. And I was like, well,
that was the
my life sucks.
That was the noise you heard. That was
it was after I was walking around the outside of my car, freaking out, trying not to like, you know, because I had those like, okay, I lived, but I thought I was dying jitters, you know?
But you said that you said the high school kids made the same noise as your brakes. You went, all the high school kids were going, I was like, that wasn't your brakes.
Like,
it was
the
high school kids.
I look at the kids,
out the window, making seal noises at you to make fun of you.
Oh, man.
And then you decided, or we had to get the car across the road and just release the brakes and go because there's the only place we could put it. So we, I was like, I'll hop in the car and do it. And you're like, no, I got it. But you were terrified.
Yep.
And I went down to the road and made sure no cars were coming. And I was like, go. And you released the brake and just rolled.
And then we kind of parked it up, put a for sale sign on the front.
You ruined the climax of that story, which was smart boy McGee over here. I'm taking credit for that. You did not.
I did.
Every time I bring the story back up, you think you came up with that.
Every time I bring it up, you think you thought of that.
I know I thought of that. I have zero doubt.
100% sure I thought of that.
I am 1000% sure I thought of that. Because
really
the
matter.
Car was on the side.
It's the same amount of percent.
What do we do? It's not. It's just, on the side of the road.
Dividing it by more.
We're like, what do? We don't want someone to, you know, try to do something to it. Or just, I was like, oh, let's put a for sale sign on it. Because then still think it's just on
7%. Yeah, I know what I said.
I literally said that.
But
we're not going to start arguing already. We argue when we talk about movies. This first part's entertainment. You're wrong.
I'm entertained. Yeah, but that was terrible. That was a low. What's your lowest point in life?
Speaking of,
I don't know if that was my lowest point. I've been pretty low, but
speaking of cars,
yeah, something wrong with yours?
No, my car is fine.
Yeah.
But people tend to go through the drive-through in cars
exclusively. I'd say
usually. Yeah, I mean, you get the weird ones. You know, try to go through
on
their bikes.
I don't think you guys will serve people if they're just walking through.
Not supposed to.
Yeah,
but
which is stupid, by the way.
I agree.
I remember being drunk in Cocoa Beach, and our hotel was right next to a Taco Bell, and I didn't want to get in the car, obviously, for legality reasons, and so I tried to walk through the drive-thru, and they were like, no, fuck off.
And they were like,
yeah, everyone who's dumb is just,
everyone who was making fun of you makes seal noises. But today, okay, so I work at Starbucks.
Wow.
Super fun. Dang. Not a glamorous life, but you know, as I got plenty of
You're
other things
hustling out
going
there,
on.
You're hustling.
You gotta sometimes you gotta make them muns, you know? So
maybe
somebody comes through the drive thru. So you can do mobile ordering at Starbucks to where you like send it in through your phone and then you come pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole other story of why people are dumb who go through the drive thru to pick up their mobile orders. But regardless, besides the point, somebody comes through the drive thru. They ordered some food item, which don't buy food at Starbucks. It's so expensive. They ordered
really
some sort of like chicken salad or something. That's probably like $12 prepackaged garbage.
Yeah. It's, I mean, at least it's not, it's usually pretty fresh because they have trucks in like every night.
It's not worth the money, dude.
But no, it's not. It's really not.
So they ordered that, but sometimes we're out and they don't know because they order online. We can update the app, but with everything else going on, it doesn't always get updated. Anyways, we were out of whatever this person ordered. She comes through the drive-thru and they're like, yeah, I'm whatever her name is. I don't remember. Here to pick up my mobile order. I ordered like the chicken salad, whatever. And the person on drive-thru goes, and I have a headset on because I'm on bar making drinks, listening to whatever is coming up next. And she goes, yeah, whatever. And the person on drive-thru says, oh yeah, I'm so sorry. We're actually out of that today. Here's her response. Oh, no, 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 no. I took my headset off and threw it on the counter. I'm not joking.
It's kind of hot. I'm just kidding. I'm just
kidding. She was like 40-something years old. And I've never heard somebody sound more like a child in my entire life coming through a Starbucks drive-thru. And it didn't last. It lasted longer
than
that.
Was this one of your regulars?
She'd been in the, I think so. I don't know who she is, but I think some of the other people knew who she was.
I just feel like people who regular Starbucks that aren't, you know, I mean, they're the worst. I always hated our regulars. I worked at Starbucks years ago briefly, and it was fun.
Now you've upgraded to that. No job life.
Hey, you guys should try it. God. I don't know. I never understood the mentality of people who would just go there every day, even if they were just on their way to work.
I don't care if you want to go there every day. We have some nice regulars.
Ugh.
There's one person that is super nice. I'm cool with.
I hate them.
Look, sure, it's a coffee or drink addiction or your sugar addiction, whatever. I don't care. Don't act like a child. I don't know. I don't care. Just
there are so many cooler
excruciating
things to be addicted to than sugar and caffeine. You're wasting your time.
Okay. Like what, Nate? What are you addicted to that's better? Magic the Gathering?
Yes. I'm glad you brought it up.
I'm leaving. That's it. I'm out. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Oh, man. So this is a Magic podcast now. Magic the Gathering is a very popular and famous dueling card game, similar to Hearthstone, if you're familiar, or Yu-Gi-Oh, if you're also familiar with that.
Can I shut your mic off?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You should try it. I'm pretty sure it's made by the same people who do all the D&D stuff.
Just go to Starbucks, you'll get the same high, apparently.
For high from what? As
like,
magic?
Again, addictive high. I beg to differ with some of the people that come into my Starbucks.
I think that they're addicted to people being nice to them. You know what I mean? I think that's part of why people like Chick-fil-A so much, too, is that like,
I
when you go through.
Hate. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Uh-oh. I thought I was done and that we could get started on the movie stuff.
Sometimes I talk, too. It's weird, but not right now.
Give your opinions. You got me triggered.
I do think that like people, you know, I mean, they like going to places like Chick-fil-A and Starbucks just because all the employees are always like, oh, my gosh. Hey, how you doing? How are you? It was my pleasure. Thanks for coming in. Blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like opposed to if you go to like Wendy's, they're like, what do you want? Go ahead. You know what I mean?
Like I pulled into McDonald's drive-thru once. And the welcome was McDonald's. I know.
That is a stupid ass reason. McDonald's. Oh shit, for real? You dead ass?
Oh man.
But yeah, which I mean, I appreciate that, you know, when you go to like a Chick-fil-A, it's you know, I mean, it's always going to be top knop service, but
I have no idea. Not even going to try.
All right. But at the same time, you know what I mean? That's not how I get like my person fix of the day or something like that. You know what I mean?
I can't stand Chick-fil-A.
Why? Really? What?
I cannot stand Chick-fil-A.
God's chicken?
So I get being nice and being efficient.
Right.
So let me start with this. Now they have people.
Now you're just being a contrarian.
I don't know a lot of people that don't like Chick-fil-A. Well,
I know no one.
I know a few. So if you go to Chick-fil-A, have people who like walk out to you with like an iPad in the drive-thru.
Sure.
75% of the time I go through the drive-thru, which I don't go to Chick-fil-A very often, they don't have a menu for you to look at. Like, they just expect you to know what you want. They expect you to be a regular.
They serve, like, four things there.
I wanted not just the regular chicken sandwich, and I felt like an idiot because it's just assuming that the person knows what they want, where they should have the opportunity to look at a menu. This is just this is the wow. smallest of things that
and
frustrate
you are
me.
So mad.
This is the small. Well,
is this the only
it's
thing?
Just no,
is this,
no,
oh,
no, no, no.
Okay,
that's why I said
Thank
this
God.
Is the smallest of things.
Oh, okay.
It's just awkward when a it just makes it more awkward
Dude,
when another human walks
them,
up.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with your menu, and I'm pretty sure they would have. Whoever was working at Chick-fil-A is so nice. They would have listed the entire menu to
that's
you.
That's worse.
Why?
I don't want to sit there. It makes me feel very uncomfortable and awkward if you have to read an entire menu to me. There's a way drive-thrus have been set up. It would be nice if I could just look at the menu, make a decision, tell you what that is. We can be nice. That's fine. Be nice. Because apparently you don't like people being nice to you at start. I don't understand.
No, I like people being nice to me. I don't need it. I'm not addicted to it, which is what I was saying.
Okay. But I just... here's what I will say. It works... But as far as that was the quickest drive-thru I've ever been in my life.
Yep.
Was when I went to Chick-fil-A yesterday, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, no joke. Like, I didn't really have time to stop. The only time you have time to stop is when they're handing food out. And then you pull up and they hand your food out.
Yep.
Very quick. I'll give them that. But the, like, social awkwardness and the way that like, okay, let me just cut to the biggest issue that I have.
Yep.
My pleasure. Can't stand it. Drives me up a wall. When I go do a Chick-fil-A, everyone says my pleasure. They say it every other word, and they say it so the same that I feel like I'm talking to a robot, and it pisses me off. Doesn't feel genuine. Doesn't feel sincere. Feels like they're being forced to say it. I absolutely hate it. Be a human being. Don't like wow. just read a script because I'm not gonna believe you're genuine at all.
Why
be a normal
you want
human
them to be genuine?
Because I want somebody to be. I like having interactions with humans, knowing that every person is different. So if you say, hey, man, no problem, have a good one, that's different. Even if you use the words no problem of, hey, man, no problem, have a good one. No problem, man, have a good day. Those are two different things, especially said by two different people. But when everyone says, you're welcome, my pleasure, just like that every time, it drives me insane. And I can't take it. I hate it.
Let me offer you a slightly different perspective here. Let's just ease off.
I got
ease
yelled
off the gas
at from
here.
A customer at Starbucks for not saying my pleasure, and I almost punched this man in the face. Continue. I'm sorry. Wow. I hope no one at Starbucks says it. From the two things I've complained about Starbucks, I could probably lose my job if anybody from behind power say listen to this episode.
Just overall, fuck Starbucks. Just from every part of it, right? Corporate. Individual people you work with, people I used to work with, just all of them. let's just cover our bases there. The my pleasure thing doesn't bother me. One, because I'm normal. And then two,
no, you're not.
Two, I would argue that a robotic interaction at a fast food restaurant, so much better. I do not want the individual. I am there simply to get greasy, shitty food and leave. That is my sole purpose. I'm not there to connect. I don't want to talk to an individual. I want to talk to a robot. That would be great. If honestly, if we get to a point where the entire an automated Chick-fil-A exists where there are no people there, I know that would ruin a lot of jobs and there's like a whole thing there. But I'm just saying, for me, a consumer, if I could just roll up and it was just perfectly done and I was just talking to a robot the whole time, perfect. That sounds like the perfect quintessential fast food experience. When you start getting, this is the problem. When you get like, hey, let them have personalities, that's when you get Wendy's or McDonald's where it's McDonald's. All right.
And that's this such a better broken. Story to tell.
Sure, but you also waited there for 25 extra minutes, I promise you, and there were three cars in the lane opposed to the 30 that were around Chick-fil-A.
I think that Starbucks does, and this is, you know this, because obviously, I don't want to, I'm not like, oh, Starbucks is the best. I think Starbucks does it better. No, whatever, I don't care. I think Starbucks does it better than Chick-fil-A, as in they want people to be nice and genuine as they can. It's a job. You're going to be in bad moods and you have to pretend like you're in a good mood. I understand that. There's that level of fakeness, sure. Mm-hmm. But it just seems so over the top that it, again, if it's fully automated, that's one thing. I'm cool with that. But when you make us have awkward interactions with someone standing and walking next to
Why
your car through the drive-thru.
I've never had an awkward interaction with them.
It's just so... I don't know. It's not, I don't want to say it's not what I'm used
Are
to because
awkward?
That's not it.
Huh? Is that the problem?
No, it's just when I'm so used to like going through a drive-thru, like you said, it's almost automated. You can just speak through a speaker, say what you need to say, order your thing, could be nice. They can say, oh, how are you? Whatever. That's fine. But like somebody walking up to your car window and you don't even get to look at a menu. It's just strange. But again, that's the least of my worries. The my pleasure, the roboticness. And again, it's not that it being automated wouldn't be better. Yeah, fine. But it's not. And for some reason, on just a subconscious, deep level to me, it just grinds my gears. I don't know why. I just hate it.
Here's the best thing I can think of that's not automated. If you had a fast food restaurant that was just like a bunch of bros. It's just like operated by just a bunch of like laid back, a combination of like stoners, surfers, and like skater dudes. But they all like make good food and like doing it. And they're always like, "What's up, bro?" And then like you get your food and they're like, "Yeah, later, dude." Like I think that would probably be the best like combination of that. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'd be down
like,
for that.
Yeah, it's just real chill. You know what I mean? It's almost impossible to feel awkward around a stoner or like a surfer dude. Because they're like, there's just no expectation there. You can just say anything to them and they're just gonna be like, oh, all right. You know what I mean? Like, they're just gonna be okay with it.
All right, and number one with freaking fries, dude. Get the large Coke, too? Heck yeah, dude. Yeah. Let's do it. Get out the window. Yeah, it's gonna be $5.
There's something endearing about hearing that voice. You know what I mean? That, like, stereotypical, you know, server voice thing where it's just like, yeah, now I'm kind of happy for no reason. I don't know.
Maybe I'll try to adopt that next time I'm on.
That's what we need. Chick-fil-A that's, like, operated just like that.
I think I got out my rant. Like, whatever.
Fantastic.
Let's get into the movie.
Movies!
Took longer than expected because I was you pulled my
apparently
strings.
I accidentally triggered you. I was not my intention.
Better when Chick-fil-A is
I actually had an anecdote for about the movie, and now I don't know if we want to have time to actually get into it.
What? Make it quick.
Okay. I was watching this last night, and I
let me guess. You went to a theater, and the people were awful, and you wanted your money back. I'm sorry. What's up?
Yeah, I went to... I saw a movie from 2000... Well, actually, they've been showing old movies, so touche, that could happen. Not this one, though. There's no way to send it. But... I was just watching it in my bedroom. No big deal. Got to like the last 20 minutes. Big old palmetto bug crawls out next to my window. And of course, I'm just
Which
terrified.
Is basically a cockroach.
It's just the really big flying version of a cockroach. Yeah. Which, again, my room, it's no like perfectly pristine, clean thing. But it's not like dirty.
Cockroaches aren't falling from the ceiling every day?
No.
Oh, well, that's good to hear.
This is a rare occurrence for me, okay? And I think he must have crawled in. He was window related, you know what I mean? It was warm in there or cold. I don't know what they're looking for.
My man doesn't even know the own temperature of his room. It was some temperature. I don't know, but that had effect.
Yes. So crawls in. I'm terrified. And so I'm like, I don't know what to do. So, I go and I get a can of Raid. I come back, still sitting in the general position. It's kind of empty, like it's kind of low on juice, Raid juice. And I spray it at him. He immediately doesn't like that. Starts flying everywhere. Freaks me out. I'm like screaming. All that kind of stuff. Nope. Pure girl. All that kind of stuff.
That was pretty deep. But okay.
But you know what I mean. Just totally freaking out. I abandon the room. I come back with one of those electric fly swatters and then another can of Raid, and I lose him. He's gone.
Please tell me you slept in your living room.
I then totally abandon the movie at this point. I looking everywhere for him, all worries last known. I tear my entire room apart. I just could not keep going with the thought that he's in there somewhere. And so everything's torn out. Drawers are on the floor.
Oh
my bed
gosh.
Is torn up. Like my bed, box spring, and the little like wheel metal thing it sits on in the hallway. I'm looking everywhere.
Yo,
can't find
like,
him.
Whoever, like, if you live with somebody and you just go, all right, guys, I'm going to my room. Got to go watch Hannibal. And they know it's about some psycho killer dude. Yep. And then they walk in or they hear like a bunch of like rustling and stuff, and then walk into your room's completely flipped upside down, drawers ripped out your bed. They'll be like, my man went insane from watching this movie.
I had completely torn it apart. He's just nowhere. And now I'm starting to try to like rationalize it. I'm like, did he crawl back out wherever he came from? Maybe I hit him just enough where he's kind of like, he just crawled into a hole and started to die. You know what I mean? Like he's got like, I don't know. He's poisoned. He's not quite dead, but he just had enough energy to crawl away and die. I don't know. Couldn't figure it out. Finally just go, you know what? Guess I'm sleeping in the living room. Fuck this. Go back in there one last time. He's just on the wall. Just out of nowhere. Just blank spot in the wall. He's just there. And I'm like, fuck yes. And I don't leave eyesight with him. And I like, you know, do that kind of thing where like you're staring straight at it, but then you're like slowly reaching for your thing. Got my can of Raid and my electric fly swatter thing. I'm spraying him in the air. He's half flying, half like running around. I dump like half a can. My room is carcinogen central, dude. I'm gonna get cancer from that room because I dumped so much Raid. And I finally like smack him out of the air and just hold him down like I'm smothering him under with a pillow with the electric fly swatter. No. Like it's with a pillow, like you know, like in movies. But
what'd
it's
you
just
go tonight? I choked out a bug, dude.
He was not dying. I swear, dude. I was like sitting there with the fly swatter on. He's spark. You know, it sparks when you hit him with that. He's popping like that, and I'm like smothering him with it, like back and forth, like rolling his body all across the ground. Man, it was. But finally, after all that, I was just kind of sitting there, kind of half sweating, just like on the floor, looking at his, you know, deceased corpse, and I was like, I don't really want to watch the rest of this movie anymore.
Did you finish the movie?
I did. Okay. I did. I went back and finished it. But yeah, that was my adventure. Fucking hate roaches.
If anybody
dude. I cannot
knows,
handle them.
We need to get a talented artist to recreate almost like a fan art of like you with this fly swatter. Like complete warrior stance. Like you look like a warrior, but your weapon's a fly swatter, like electric fly swatter, and then you have the bug like
just
in front of you, like
just kind
of
confused. Just like
we'll put it up on the wall behind you in the studio.
I hate how they look. You know what really freaks me out? The little antenna movement, dude. This whole number that they do.
Yeah.
With, oh God, it just freaks me the fuck out. I just feel even after we killed him and I was totally ridded of him, I just had that feeling for the rest of the night when I was trying to fall asleep of just like, oh, man. That was it. Yep.
Well, I'm glad you completely sacrificed your room for... I hope it was worth it.
I actually afterwards ended up doing like a deep cleaning of it and stuff like that because I was just like, you know what? Maybe he was actually after something because, you know, I eat my room and stuff like that. So I do get like crumbs occasionally and like crevices and stuff like that. So I totally sweeped them out, cleared them out. So
yeah, I'm going to plant a bug in your room tonight all that.
I would be so upset.
It'd be amazing.
We'd stop being friends.
That would stop me from doing the podcast.
Speaking of creepy.
Yep.
Cannibals.
Cannibals and Hannibal.
Hannibal the cannibal.
We're talking about Hannibal, the middle movie between Silence of the Lambs and Red Dragon.
Except Hannibal. Isn't Red Dragon a prequel?
You'll have to find out.
I think I looked. I had to look it up to remember which one was next. So
So we're kind of doing this. This is a weird. We talked about this last time, but just in case for some reason you're listening or watching this one and you didn't watch the Silence of the Lambs one, we're doing a the series of Hannibal Lecter movie series that has Anthony Hopkins playing Hannibal. First one, Silence of the Lambs, is very famous, but then the other two. I think they're known, but they're not super famous. Like, they're not Silence of the Lambs. And I think it's pretty clear when you watch them why. I think they're fun. They're some of my... I like all three of them, or at least I remembered liking all three of them. And so this is the middle one. Hannibal takes place 10 years after Silence of the Lambs. There's been some recasting. Julianne Moore is playing Jodie Foster's Clarice Starling. And those two, if I remember correctly, are pretty much the only carryovers from the first one.
Who?
It's just Starling and Hannibal.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, because, I mean, there's a 10-year... gap in between in story as well as actually filming pretty much. So now it's been 10 years. Starling is a more well-known, you know, an established FBI agent. She gets involved in a raid. Shit goes down sideways. She gets blamed. She ends up getting put on the Hannibal Lecter case as kind of a way to save face, like to, you know, kind of get her back into the good graces of the media, which is a weird plot. We'll get into it, but
Hannibal Lecter at the end of the last movie escaped.
Yes. And he's been on the lam basically, but kind of inactive for 10 years. And so it's just, you know, basically the story of chasing him down. There's more stuff, but that's the, you know, pretty basic synopsis of this one. The first one, which garnered all the acclaim, was made by, I cannot remember the guy's name, but a director who's very successful and had done a lot of movies. The other one. Oh. Well, this one as well. This one was directed by Ridley Scott.
Yeah, that I know. Yeah. That's what I was...
But this, the first one, that's what I'm saying. This one almost has a more famous director than the first one does, just because Ridley Scott's been working forever, and he, you know, Alien and Mad Max and all that kind of shit. So, although this one is not... wasn't received nearly as well as the first one. I think it's at like a 39% on Rotten Tomatoes, if I'm familiar with that.
Really?
Yeah, it's not super great, unfortunately. And hot takes, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
Every time I try to look things up about Hannibal, all I get is the show, because now there's a show, Hannibal.
Yeah. It's the Mads Mikkelsen show. Which I have never seen. I probably will watch it at some point, but...
I haven't either, and I don't really care.
Damn. So, hot takes.
I don't really care about the show, to be honest. I'm watching the movies and whatever. Who's going first? Am I going first?
Oh, I asked you if you wanted me to go first.
Or yeah, you got it. First.
Okay, so...
I like to make them wait for mine if it's one that they don't really know as much about, like my opinions, because you went into this saying...
Yeah, I went into this saying that I like these movies.
The first time you watched them, at least.
Yes, and...
How long has it been?
It hasn't been that long. These aren't like movies that I liked as a child. These are movies that I liked.
Not.
Yeah, these are movies I liked like in 2016. You know what I mean? Okay. Like that was probably the first time I saw all of these, and I remember liking all three of them pretty much equally. And man, was I wrong, because this one, at least, is a fucking mess.
Thank goodness.
Still kind of like it. It's got fun bits, but it's doing a lot of shit and not much of it well. Yeah. And I tried not to go into this with, like, a lot of preconceived notions about, like, ratings and stuff like that. I knew that they weren't, like, the 2 and 3 weren't as well received as the first one. Not much is, honestly. I went into this optimistically and unfortunately did not live up to my expectations. But yeah, unfortunately, this one's just a bit of a...
I'm going to laugh when you're like, the third one's even worse. You're like, I'm sorry, I made you watch this.
Nah, still worth it. Because I'll let you do your hot take first.
I just don't care about this movie, dude.
Damn.
I really don't. Maybe that's a bad way to start off, because I don't want it to be like, oh, I didn't care, so
if
it's
you
bad.
You don't care about it. Why should the audience care about what we're about to say?
Well, let's... Okay, yeah, that's why it is a bad way to start it off, because regardless of whether it's something I'd watch or not, I have to give a little more in-depth review, mm-hmm. objectively and subjectively. So I definitely went into this one, I think, more open-minded than the first one.
Kind of knew what to expect a little bit, and
and so this movie did have moments that were creepy and kind of gross.
This movie is like goes over the top, especially in regards to the first one, with like the in your face, like, ooh, like kind of just, yeah. It's not like gore, but it's, I mean, sometimes it's just like, look at this, it's fucking weird, you know what I mean? Or creepy. Yeah, I guess creepy is
or
the best
gore.
Way to,
there
yeah.
is
I mean,
gore.
There is gore, but it's not usually, there's not much of like slashing, you know what I mean? I don't think this isn't the same as like Texas Chainsaw Massacre or something like, you know what I mean? Or Saw. It's not the same way. People aren't getting chopped up. It's just like, hey, there's a guy's brain.
Well, it's also, hey, I'm going to slice the... Okay, this is, I guess, a little spoiler.
Yeah.
Slice this guy's stomach open and then hang him, and his intestines are going to fall out.
Yeah, it doesn't show it like... You know, okay, I guess you're just not... You haven't seen nearly as many like slasher horror films.
Well,
I
don't
as
I like
have.
Those either.
No, I know. I'm
but
not saying
I will
that
say
you
this,
have to.
This
but
didn't
so,
go, no, yes.
Yeah.
This did not go to the point where there's a lot of those where I'd be like, I'm not watching this because it's way
yeah,
too gory.
It definitely has like technically gore in it.
I'm just saying that's what yeah. it's considered. It's just mm-hmm. not as far as some of those are,
right.
like we're saying. This movie, I think the reason that I really wasn't a fan is because it did pretty much the things that I didn't like about the first one. But just more, and didn't really have the saving grace,
just for,
especially the beginning.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I'm comparing this again, but just felt like another NCIS sort of thing that was just extended into a movie. But they had a better, they had more of an excuse to make it creepier, and you know, about this cannibal and a little bit more about the psychology. Except they went more into the psychology like the first movie, and. Yeah, just an excuse to prolong it and go more in depth with it, which at time, I'm not going to say didn't work at all in any of it, but it still, like, if it ever did deviate from feeling like that NCIS or crime show thing, yeah. it didn't do it for very long for me. It just, like, it just felt so stereotypical, besides the few moments where there were good performances by Anthony Hopkins and as Hannibal and
yeah,
some of the stuff that he does.
That's kind of the thing that makes this whole trilogy is just him through it. Now, he doesn't have as much to do to work with in this, especially with dialogue, than he does in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
And honestly, a lot of like the what the character does in the movie isn't as clever as it is in Silence of the Lambs. Sometimes he just kind of runs around and kills people, like very,
right.
you know, just
exactly.
not, nothing,
that, and that,
not that
that's,
cleverly. It's
that's
just like
why,
a guy
again,
killing
it made
a guy.
It feel more
yeah.
like that kind of
no, yeah, I can get
crime
that for sure.
show.
And
they're trying to catch him. And I also felt like they rehashed a good bit of character motivations and story from the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Without going way too much into depth. And I'll explain that when we do talk about spoilers. This, again, if you can go back, if you already listened to the Silence of the Lambs episode,
mm-hmm.
the reasons I didn't like that was pretty much why I didn't like this one. It just did it more and had less to grasp onto.
It just did all of it worse.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I already didn't really like the first one.
I know. Yeah. It's not. Oh,
also,
man.
I know that this has an effect too. This is, and I don't know if it's just because it's more it felt more stereotypical in that way, mm-hmm. of the crime thing, show type, whatever. But I'm just learning how much, like, it's not my type of movie. Like, I just don't really care about these kind of movies. And especially when they did add some of the gore stuff.
Yeah.
I already don't like that stuff. And so it was just like, I just felt like I was being, since there was no other substance to really grab onto, I felt like I was just being shown it to be shown it, which was just then turning me off because there's less of a reason. So at least if you have a reason and it makes me uncomfortable, there's more emotions behind it, even if it is, I say negative emotions, but you know what I'm saying. I just, there was just less of anything to grasp onto, so those didn't mean anything, and it just turned me off.
I will say that I don't think, like, comparing this to, like, stuff like NCIS is all that fair.
I know you don't.
Just because. Just,
but I will say this is how I
movies
felt
from
when
the
I watched
90s
it.
Were, like, kind of the basis for, or what I kind of assume are the basis of, I don't know for sure, of, like, CIS and then CSI yeah. and CIS and then, like, Criminal Minds and stuff like that. I mean, that's kind of what they're taking from this model. So, I mean, kind of in post-haste comparing them to, I mean, I get what you're saying, and I don't think this movie's great, but that comparison in and itself is a little unfair to me, but, to each his own.
But do you, not that they necessarily do it better, but I was going to say, like, do you like those shows?
No.
Because I don't think...
I don't like crime procedurals, and that's what all those kind of are, because I like overarching stories.
But this is what it felt like that in... And even if it started that, mm-hmm. and they make it into a TV show that you or I might not necessarily enjoy as much, like, if you don't enjoy those, it's just taking the idea of what they did in these movies and then putting the... and making them worse, just making it very generic and all that kind of stuff. But that's how I felt watching some of this, mm-hmm. was the bad parts of those shows. I'm just saying how I feel.
No, yeah, I mean, I'm not. I can't take that away from you.
NCIS aired first episode in 2003, but CSI was 2000. So maybe the first movie
but
helped.
Talking about, like, 91 was Silence of the Lambs and stuff like that.
91 was it when that was? I know it was 10 years later. But was it actually 10 years later they filmed it?
Yeah, pretty much.
I didn't know if it was a different time. I didn't remember when the Silence of the Lambs came out.
Yeah, 91 for Silence of the Lambs. Yeah, it was a big gap.
Spoilers.
Yeah, really.
Right? Do you have anything else to say about it? I mean,
no. Yeah, we're going into spoilers for sure. I was just gonna say about, like, shows like crime procedures. Yeah. You know what kind of takes me out of those is that it's a dramatic show in which the main characters somehow have over the course of their career, you know, over the course of the show, solve about 500 interesting murder cases.
Right.
Which is, like, that doesn't happen. That's never. I mean, there are cops out there who have worked, like, detectives who have worked on a lot of murder cases, but come on. Not every week for 10 years.
Well, you can't make it interesting. You make shows about interesting things, so.
No, I get it. It's just, I like overarching stories where it's kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, there have been shows that are crime shows where it's like, you know, like True Detective, where it's like an anthology, different characters every season, and the whole season's like they're chasing one big case, basically.
Right.
That I'm not saying that, like, all crime procedurals are bad. It's just hard for me to get into them based on that premise.
Well, and maybe I haven't seen this show, but in full, I've seen a couple episodes, but, like, Sherlock.
Yeah, but I mean, I get that.
I don't know. The reason I say is I haven't seen it is how not his cases are interesting, or it wouldn't be a good show, I feel like. But are they as, like, I don't know.
They're probably
are they
more as interesting. Although I will say that they, you know, they kind of reuse villains a little bit, like Moriarty comes back. And also, you're talking about, like Sherlock the show has, like, what, 12 total episodes opposed to 400 with NCIS, you know. So the same basic principle applies. I can see how it's a little bit not crazy, but I guess the one thing against for Sherlock, and then we'll drop it, is that he is specifically sought out for interesting cases, opposed to everybody else is just basically a cop.
In this, it'd make more sense if he was being taken to different locations then, because he's being sought out. But
well,
he's
London's
being sought
huge,
out,
and he does go to different places. There's episodes of Sherlock where they're in, like, if I remember correctly, it's like an Irish little countryside. I mean, they never leave England. But
right, I'm just saying that would make more sense because being sought out doesn't matter if it's still within the same city, because if it's in one city, the CSI crew is it within that city, so they're going to answer all those calls too.
Yeah, but there's probably like a bajillion precincts in, you know, a city the size of London with a billion different cops.
You got your murder specialists.
Murder specialists. If you're in a big city, there's probably a lot of murder specialists. But anyway, enough about all that. Getting into this movie. Yeah. Unfortunately, this movie is a mess. It's so weird because, I mean, normally I like Ridley Scott's stuff, Alien, Mad Max, that kind of stuff a lot. And he's clearly has the reputation that he has because, you know, he's good at what he does. So for him to make such a jumbled mess of a movie, it's just so weird to me how, like, the segmented it is. Like, the first half of it is, it's almost like three parts where they set up a bunch of stuff in the first like 30 minutes with like Starling, why she's her situation is being like kind of in this weird situation where like the media gives a shit that a FBI agent shot some people who deserve to be shot in an FBI raid. Doesn't that seem weird? Well, that they cared about that?
I think more people on her team died that should not have died.
Yeah, but she was the one who made the call stand down, and then some other dude who ended up dying didn't do it. So it got pinned on her, which I guess they're saying.
Exactly. That's a note that I had. She didn't at the beginning, like she waited until she got fired upon with all these accusations, and she didn't just come out saying, yo, I didn't approve of this. I'm like, so it just felt so jumbled.
What the movie was trying to do with this, and it's something that Silence of the Lambs does really well. I talked about it in that episode, and then this movie does really shitty, is that it was trying to show like, ooh, lady cop doesn't get respected because of sexist police department.
And it
shoves that so hard in your face in this movie, and it's so subtly and well done in the first one. And in this one, oh my God, Ray Liotta, the guy who plays Paul, I think his name was, is insanely over the top, ridiculous.
Yes.
Oh, it's so bad. And I hated it.
Over the top can be bad, I guess. But having it be in your face about some of these things, like if there's like real issues going on, and it like, and even let's say like there's some sort of issue, I'm not going to get political or anything like that because, you know, I don't like doing that.
But I think it's well known.
Here's what I'm saying. Okay. I'm not even going to say what issues. Mm-hmm. If there is an issue going on in the world, whatever that might be, that just let's even say that like 95% of the world agrees this is an issue, but there's still an issue going on, and then you put it into a movie, it might be very apparent, but you can do it well. But this, it can, the issue I had is we already did that storyline.
Yes.
That's why it felt not in your face is one thing, shoved down your throat is another.
Yeah.
That is, it, there's, yeah, it, like things in real life are in your face and issues come up and they're in your face. They're such big issues. And you can portray that in movies. But when you have already done that storyline, then it felt, and the way that they did it just felt like they were completely shoving it down the throat.
Yes.
That's how I felt. And again, so I was like, why? It just felt like the character was going through the same arc that she did in the first one. It's like, oh, well, let's just make her look bad again so she has to prove herself again when she had to prove herself in the first movie and get the respect.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, it's, so in this one, obviously, in Silence of the Lambs, she didn't start from a position of, like, she was the underdog, just, you know, being a woman in the FBI Academy, sure, but she wasn't like, you're on thin ice, you know, Starling, your career's over, the only thing you can do is catch Hannibal. That's how it's set up in this one, which is ridiculous. It's also weird that the media gives so much of a shit about all this. Like, they're having like all hundreds of reporters are outside the, you know, headquarters, and they're like, what happened with that thing? Do you hear about raids if they go wrong or right? I don't. Never seen that on the news. It's just not something that's really talked about all that much, you know. You know what I mean?
And was it just talked about in 2001? I don't know.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Sure. I guess. They had a lot less going on then. If it was.
It's 2020 now. We got a lot going on.
Well, it was 2001, so they had like one really big thing happen that they probably never stopped talking about.
I don't think that happened yet. When did this come out? Weird. I'm curious now.
It came out in 2001. I mean, this
I know. I'm just curious as to when.
But
Oh, yeah. February 2001.
Yeah,
February 9th.
That hadn't happened yet. Anyway, so kind of back to what I was saying. That the first 30 minutes of this movie starts out with like setting all that up, but also setting up the weird, creepy, rich, former only surviving victim of Hannibal.
Yep.
Sets all that up, and then it's like, okay, cool. And then it drops all that for the whole middle of the movie. Then you start following around Hannibal and this Italian detective around for like the entire middle. And it just completely feels so odd that like Starling, our supposed to be main character, is sitting in a basement for like an hour of this movie. She's doing basically nothing until the last third of this movie.
Yeah.
And that to me, like when I was going back and watching this, like I remember the big parts of this and stuff like that, but I didn't remember like thinking she's not doing anything. Like they just don't have anything for this character to do because they're running this whole side story where this Italian detective gets killed because he's greedy, which again is kind of like a story where it's like, is this the most interesting thing you could pull forward with this?
Yeah.
Because it's just a cop who's like, ooh, money, let me try to best Hannibal, and I fail.
And it's just very stereotypical.
And then Hannibal just has a job in Italy in a library?
That's another issue I had. What? I said, can you really, as being on the top 10 most wanted on the FBI list, in another country, but still... Top 10, can you just live your life in another country for 10 years
just
and not be noticed?
Just wear sunglasses and go by a different name? Yeah, that seems really odd. And then also,
all the guy had to do who worked for law enforcement was look up top 10 most wanted.
Which he does eventually.
That's my point. Yeah. That's all he had to do. Yeah. You're telling me that no one knows that list until that? It took 10 years for someone to look at that and go, yo, this person's living here. What? It just didn't feel...
Yeah, and
very realistic.
Just that whole weird interaction, especially the weird part where like the Italian guy is having him followed and trying to get a fingerprint on the bracelet in the marketplace, and Hannibal stabs him like in the dick with a knife.
He was going for my balls, but he missed, and then it's like
he's like,
I hate it,
and it's like, and it's spurting out so much blood,
so much.
I'm like, I don't know how much the groin bleeds, but that feels like a lot.
And every time that blood was spurting out in this movie, it was almost too visceral. Maybe that's how it happened. I've never stabbed somebody,
so.
But it sounded. Obviously, I know it's supposed to sound gross, but it like was like.
And also, they're in a busy
hold on, I'm not done. Oh. Just forever, over and over. I'm like, are we done? Are we done?
It was an Italian bleeding, so it had to sound like he was eating spaghetti. and not only that, but they're in a busy marketplace, and the guy's like bleeding out. He bleeds out in like 5 seconds, which is way too fast. unless you're cut in half, you are not bleeding out that fast. And then the guy just like he dies, and then the detective guy goes, "Damn!" Washes off his bloody hands in a fountain and just walks off. And I was like, "What? There's no procedure here. You don't call this in." I mean, he's kind of like a little shady, but. Come on, that's way too far for him to just, and no one notices it. No one's like, hey, a guy's bleeding out viscerally and loudly right over there.
Yep. No one heard the plate of bleeding spaghetti.
Ridley, what are you doing?
Yeah, all these things, like there were things that happened that people like either should have noticed or that just seemed kind of contrived. You had the issue with, like we said, the story, how it felt kind of shoved down the throat, even if you're addressing an issue. It's almost, and maybe I don't know because I've never been on the side, but it almost seems disrespectful. Oh, maybe I'm going too far. I was going to say, maybe it seems disrespectful to the issue if you play it that over the top, because you want an issue, like if it's presented in a movie, to be realistic enough for people to connect with. Because if it's too over the top, people don't connect with it. Then you miss the entire purpose.
Right.
And again, they already did that. So I felt like it was like, okay, we get it. Which I like the nods at the beginning, how it established, like, look, I am important, because there were some people at the beginning of this movie in the first raid that were like, what are you doing? I'm the boss here. And she was like, nah, nah, nah. I'm in charge here. And I was like,
if that was the end of it, that would have been perfect.
Or you have a couple of those here and there to make, like, that's realistic. Mm-hmm. Cool. But then it's very clear that she knows and is established in herself, and she feels confident in herself to say, nah, and shut him down. It's like, freaking,
nope.
You go. But, like, it was just, they didn't end it there. Know,
like, a little bit afterward in the movie, like, in the first 30 minutes or so, she gets a letter to her basement office where she does her detectiving for whatever reason. That's like says, I got this from the Guinness World Records saying FBI agent with the most kills or something like that.
I was like, what? That was the dumbest line in this entire movie, and I wrote it down.
I was like, was that a joke? No, it wasn't. But I was thinking, like, is that a... That's so bad.
I got the Guinness World Record for the female... It was so specific. Guinness Book of World Record for the female FBI who shot and killed the most people.
Which Guinness World Records would never send that out because that's such, like, a... Like, a person killing people in the military and, like, the things. Like, sure, maybe, like, Chris Kyle or the American Sniper guy gets recognized for the most
kills. But it's not something people should go, I'm going to beat that record. Yeah, like, it's not something you set a precedent for.
Oh man, that was just, it was funny how bad that was, unfortunately.
Yeah. And there are a couple moments too that, like, something that I didn't quite believe, and maybe there's people this attuned that they know, but when she got the letter from Hannibal and then she inspected it in multiple different ways, and the last way they inspected it, so it had been some time, it being sent, her opening it, doing other stuff to it, the last thing they do is have a man smell it. And then he can tell all these things about it. I was like, yeah. I'm like, maybe there are people that can really detect stuff like that. But, like, it felt a little over the top. Yeah. And I was like, he's like, moisturizer. I was like, just stop. Just stop. Like, if you were Sherlock Holmes, I could maybe understand this.
Yeah. And, like, a grounded, realistic. I mean, when Hannibal does it, he's, like, obviously an exception to all rules.
Well, you would think.
You know what I mean? Like,
if Hannibal did, I almost in the first movie thought that there might have been a couple like things that are too far, but I was like, yeah, this is Hannibal. I'm cool with certain things. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't too much, but Hannibal could do things that are too far for me. It would put it at it. But if Hannibal is smart enough to do that kind of stuff, which again, that might be possible. There might be people out there that can do that.
Well, sommeliers are like, that's a thing, right?
Yeah, there should be people in the FBI that can do it. So maybe it wasn't unrealistic, but just with everything else compiled on, it just felt like it was just one more thing that bothered me.
Expert smeller. I don't know a lot about smelling, but
nothing about smelling.
Too far. No, for sure.
And then the bad, and this is a little bit dated of a movie, but and I know older movies do this too, but the bad slow-mo parts, I always don't like.
Yeah, that is,
especially the ones that they try to,
like, especially this specific late 90s, early 2000s. Because remember, we talked about this with Lord of the Rings too, where they do this weird slow motion in some of the movies.
Well, some of the parts, I don't know about in this movie, but you can have bad slow motion that's just slowed down and it's really bad.
It's like choppy
slowed down
and weird.
But you can have the slow motion that is choppy and has a blur effect to it, which is, I think, supposed to. Whether it's bad, well, it's supposed to enhance it and make it have some different vibe. No, but I don't like that either, because they had that in this movie. And they had some, like, weird choppy slow-mo and it had, like, a blur effect to it. I'm like, this is,
like,
just
it's
bad.
Almost dreamlike and or, like, I'm drugged. And, like, I'm,
we're not,
like,
even like that, but, like,
something. Yeah.
Or, like, I don't know if they did it during this moment, but there was a bad slow-mo shot of when she saw him on the tape and she drops the thing she's holding and, like, looks at him intently.
Yeah.
And just felt, and, like, turn around to grab the phone. I was like, maybe that was just a style choice that was more accepted back then. Yeah. So I'm trying to give that a little leeway, but I don't like it.
Do you remember the bit in with Ray Liotta again, where he walks into the where, you know, the basement where she's in the corner
and
with the headphones.
Looks up the. I was gonna mention that too. Where he's like,
so
he
ridiculous.
Lifts up the sticky note.
This guy
note.
Is such a, like, a pervert sexist. And he goes even further than
no,
this
let
at
me,
the end of the movie.
Can we start this here? That she gets a letter and there's from Hannibal. Mm-hmm. There's a drawing and one of them is like a naked lady. So
well,
you
it's
see
like, it's her and him recreating like God meeting Adam, and but it's very odd. That's what I got.
So
from
there
it.
Are breasticles.
Yes.
Okay.
Like hand drawn.
There so first of all, why do they put a sticky note over it?
I don't
you
like she's
are,
uncomfortable with nudity. She's an F she's
that's
like
what
a
I'm saying like if it's evidence
FBI agent. She's not
that was,
uncomfortable.
That was weird. And it was just for the gag, which made it worse when he walks over to it. I didn't mean to interrupt you if you wanted to explain it, but
no, him like and it's so funny how he does it like, in a bad it's not funny like the movie's not at least to me it didn't come off like it's trying to be funny.
It's not supposed
but it's, yeah it's funny how bad it is. He's like he thinks he's alone in the basement and he's like looking under the sticky note to see some crudely drawn boobies and he's like tee hee hee and then he gets scared by her and it's like come the fuck on dude.
It's so bad.
This is so bad. And not even talking about the stuff he does at the end where he's like still he's got his brain exposed to the world and he's like cutting into it and he's still being sexist towards Starling. It's like ridiculously over the top. It's insane. I will say one thing that I do like about this movie, is the first shot of it, the opening where you have Gary Oldman playing the creepy old you know, Hannibal Lecter victim, and his like conversation with the nurse who worked with Hannibal.
I would that not have known sequence? It was Gary Oldman if I didn't look it up, and I did.
No, yeah, there's no way you would have known. Yeah.
I don't know if you would say that performance is over the top or not, but like he was very creepy.
In spots.
But
it's over the top.
But it was okay. It's weird because as far as the whole plot goes, the type of movie and just all the other things that were missing, I still didn't really care. But I can still sit back from an objective perspective and appreciate his performance in that role.
In the concept, that's the most interesting part of this movie, and that's what it should have been about. It's like,
you should have had him been trying to get hold of him
somehow
earlier.
Somehow you have Starling involved with this guy, like basically the last third of this movie where it's guy hunt, you know, victim. I can actually remember his character name, but Gary Oldman hunting down Hannibal and Starling trying to basically stop both of them. That's what this should have been, because I think that's a really cool dynamic. It's not done really all that well, but I like that idea a lot. But there, and I do think Gary Oldman does a good job in spots, and like, you know, it is creepy. It's one of the standout things of this movie. And I remember when I saw it again for the first time, I was like, oh, man, especially it being the first scene. Tyler's going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I was.
But there's a couple of times like where he's on the phone with like some of the he's talking to his agency. Like he sees
my first note, which.
OK, I want to see if it's the same thing I'm about to bring up.
No, it's not. But my first note, even though I knew he was going to play a bigger role, so I probably didn't have to write this down. But because I guess having the visceral, like, what is this that the guy's face? Mm-hmm. My first note is creepy dude face. That's all it says. That's all it says.
Yeah. When he's on the phone with, or no, he's talking to his like assistant doctor guy who ends up, you know, who always follows him around and stuff like that. And he's just seeing that Starling
personal
has been
physician.
Yeah.
Yes.
His Starling has been kind of shamed on the media, and he leans over and he tells the personal physician, he's like, get me the Justice Department. And I just, that line is ridiculous. Get me the Justice Department. What the fuck does that even mean?
Get me the Justice League.
Yeah. He is kind of doing like this weird Joker voice. I don't know. That's the vibe I got, where it's kind of like this, but a little creepy, kind of like that kind of accent a little bit. And then also when he's like on his deck and he's on the phone with, you know, Ray Liotta's character, because they're kind of working together, and he's like wearing a ball cap and sunglasses with his like super fucked up face, and he hangs up the phone and he just goes, cocksucker. And it's just like those are the times where I was like, okay, no, not working for me anymore. that element of it is, I found that's the fun, the redeeming part of the movie for the most part. But all the stuff in Italy is
they need to make Hannibal be more, like you said, clever instead of just running around killing people, because this is an older dude who other people should have the upper hand on in some of these situations.
I mean, old man strength is a real thing. But yeah, you're right. He shouldn't be able to like take down, like, you know, physically fit, like, you know, the detective guy or something.
That one's okay, because he, even though he's just kind of dumb, he shouldn't have been lured into getting like chloroformed or whatever. But
yeah, chloroform, that's it.
But the guys who were going in to kind of help him.
Yeah.
And they run upstairs after he gets like hanged.
Right.
And then he's in this huge like
atrium type
place or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's looking around and he's like, he yells out his partner's name. And then Hannibal's like,
hello.
Hello. And he turns around, stares at him for like 3 seconds, and he goes,
yeah.
And then he like slices
his throat.
Why does he go flying back?
I totally forgot about that until you just mentioned it.
Hannibal slices this guy in the throat. He launches like 20 feet backwards
and knocks out like 50 chairs. And it's hilarious.
I had to rewind. I said, whoa, what did he do? Like, he had to do something cool.
Even if he just pushes him, it's still too much. Even if he slices and pushes,
it was just
way too much. It's clearly just done for the shot, and yeah, it's just.
But like, he should not have had the upper hand.
Yeah, it's not as interesting when Hannibal's just like hiding around a corner and just pokes out and stabs a guy. Like, that's not really all that clever, or interesting or anything like that. Also, I want to know if you noticed this too. He does about like 3 times in the movie. Hannibal will do a big, like, you know, evil Hannibal, like, you know, monologue or whatever, and he'll say some creepy stuff. And then once he's finished, he'll do like the little stare, and then he'll turn around and go, okie dokie. It's so out of place and weird. Like, he does it right before he hangs the guy.
I didn't notice that. But just, now that you say it, yeah. It sounds familiar, and I want to like rewatch this just for that.
It's like right before he yanks the guy, he's got him all tied down, and he's like, and now you will go like your ancestor went. Okie dokie. It's just so weird. I don't know why they thought, like, I don't know if it's supposed to be like friendly, creepy or something. Not at all. It's just,
It was for me because I didn't notice. And the way he was nonchalant about some of the stuff was kind of that way, but I don't know. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I love it.
Just that. And he does it like, he says that three times. Very strange. I'm trying to find some redeeming stuff that I like about this, but most of it's just, I mean, Julianne Moore does like a fine job, you know what I mean? Like she does an okay Starling. She's no Jodie Foster, but again, this movie is not her fault.
Why did Jodie Foster not come back?
I think it's because they didn't like, I think Jodie Foster and the guy who did the original, like the director, I think they said no because of the script.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
And now we know why?
Yeah. It does not surprise me.
Director and, director and screenwriter. Won the Oscars both passed on the opportunity to be involved because they found the book's content too disturbing.
Oh, weird. Really?
That's what it says.
I haven't read any of the books. Classically, it's known. I don't like books. so maybe they... But nothing in this movie is... I would have felt that way. That's, I mean, in comparison to Silence of the Lambs. I think Silence of the Lambs does a better job of being like subtly disturbing than this one does with its, you know, subject matter and how it shows it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's weird. Did you find about Jodie Foster?
David Mamet was removed from the project. Who's that?
I don't know. That's not the director.
No.
The director was like Jonathan Demme or something.
Was removed from the project because Foster reportedly disliked his screenplay, novel, so sees Starling indulging in cannibalism after being brainwashed by Lecter. But they didn't,
They did not do that. Maybe they rewrote it when later or wrote that part out or something like that.
It was hoped that she would change her mind when director Ridley Scott came aboard and hired Schindler's List scribe Steve Zalian to rewrite the screenplay with a changed ending. Convinced Anthony Hopkins to make a second. What just happened?
What?
An advertisement popped up and moved around all the text.
Damn.
Make a second outing as the flesh-eating psychiatrist. Hope that Foster, who has often said she would love to work with Hopkins again, would sign up as well. But she didn't. I don't.
Yeah.
It doesn't say. It's just like, but nah. Okay. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, Julianne Moore's been in like a shit ton of stuff. Really seen, though. It's just like a bunch of just stuff.
Here's the way I'm feeling about this movie or about this trilogy so far. And I wasn't a big fan of the first one. So maybe part of it just because I don't really care to want to see anymore. But it seems like because I can at least respect like the first one in some ways, it seems like it just should have been a one-off. Just do that movie and just he gets away and that's the mystery of the end. Yeah. Don't do anything about it.
Well,
just
the thing is that there were good bones. Like there's
good bones.
Yeah, there's good bones to this. Like there's a story in this movie, Hannibal, that could have worked. Like I was saying, that I think would have worked, but unfortunately, they just got this really messy jumble, and maybe all the other books aren't good. Maybe it's just Silence of the Lambs, that book, that's good. I don't know. I don't even know if that's the name of the book, to be honest, that the movie is based off. I assume it is, but who knows? I'm fingers crossed for the third one. let's see. What else we got?
I guess another issue. Everyone was in sunglasses in that last scene when they were like tracking down Hannibal and threw him in the truck to get him back to the guy's
when
house.
They were in like that weird people mall were following plaza me.
It
was all,
no one had sunglasses. Yeah, but the people tried to get him, mm-hmm. and even as they ran out, it's like people in sunglasses on their phone. It's like this is so cliche. It's
okay,
awful.
So, yeah, maybe in the 2000s, people.
Yeah,
sunglasses.
Maybe it wasn't.
I'm just kidding. So here's my thing. What was Hannibal's plan here? He lures Starling out. Gets her to drive
somewhere. Doesn't
seem
very clever, does he?
It's strange because, I mean, like, the movie presents it like he had a plan and like he knew what he was doing. But when you break it down, Did he? Because it seems like he just kind of lucks into a lot of this shit. Did he mean to get captured when they got to the place by the other guys? Because he didn't. The whole time he was like, he even says a line when he's talking to Gary Oldman's character where he's basically like, no, I meant to be here type of thing. Like, I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
He didn't say that. He said, you wish you had fed me.
Oh, yes, dogs.
He goes,
you're right.
No, I like the way you are. I think that was just a jab because yes. He's ugly but awful.
I guess he never like loses his demeanor or anything, and he doesn't seem surprised when Starling shows up. Maybe that's part of his character. Where
I would say
always
that's just
in control.
Hannibal. But at the end of the day,
again, now we're seeing him basically lose. You know what I mean? Yep. Like if Starling hadn't come saved him, he was fucked.
And I think it's like maybe he was supposed, like maybe he got her involved. Mm-hmm. This is the only thing I can think of, is that if he meant to get captured, get her involved because he knew that she would come after him, but that's such a big luck thing because when he was about to be fed to the wild hogs or whatever, he didn't seem like he had any sort of plan at that point. And then she showed up and he was like, welcome, whatever. But like it didn't, the only thing I could think of is that he was hoping and then, that she would show up. And for somebody like him, as that character, should not be stripped down to the point of hoping that someone's going to show
up. Okay, and then let me know if you kind of got the same vibe too. Starling cuts Hannibal loose, kind of help himself out. She gets shot in the shoulder by some, you know, one of the dudes up in the thing before she shoots him back. And then the hogs escape. He's carrying Starling. The hogs go for the two dead, the half dead guys on the ground and completely ignore Hannibal.
Yep.
Why? Because it's like it's almost like it's hinting at like they knew that hogs don't go after, or like, because we were shown early in the movie that the hogs were being trained to eat in response to meat off of mannequins and with the alignment of human screaming, like recordings of human screaming to get them not only to be fucking massive but also kind of into the like. Like to get they Pavlovian dog them, right? Like get the every time they hear screaming of people, go
they,
after
they
and
put,
eat.
It That's looked like they put some kind of meat or something in those mannequins or on the mannequins.
Yeah, to get them to eat from the mannequins. But they wanted to see people and hear screaming and think feeding time.
This is what I'm thinking, and I could be wrong. Is that more than just seeing a human? And I could be totally wrong here, but maybe you need them to smell the wound or the meat or the flesh,
or they
so
need
maybe
to
they're
panic
gonna, or but yeah or maybe or, so what I'm thinking is like maybe they when they hang him up, not like hang him, but when they suspend Hannibal up because they were gonna have him just eat at his feet, maybe they're gonna slice his feet open or something, because they went for the people, which this kind of makes more sense. They went to the more vulnerable people on the ground,
but they were kind of, you know, I mean, I guess that's,
it didn't fully make sense.
I don't know enough about like hogs to like put all that
but you
perfectly
shouldn't
together.
Have to.
Yeah, that's my point. The movie should have kind of made that more clear as far as why exactly, because that should have been a moment where I was like, oh, of course they went after those guys and not Hannibal because blank. But now I'm kind of thinking, well, I guess maybe the other guys were screaming and they were more defenseless. Like that could have been
my,
it.
Yeah, my thought process was, this was how my brain went. It went, well, why aren't they attacking him? Mm-hmm. And then I said, oh, well, those are the ones, like they are the most vulnerable. Yeah. And like you said, they are screaming, just like they're hearing others screaming. So that is,
and Hannibal just gave him death stare. He's like, come at me, bro. And the hogs were like, well, let's beat this guy.
Kind of funny, which I didn't think this was going to happen. It just was kind of out of the blue when he was like,
the personal.
Yeah, he was like, just dumps you could just push him in and tell him it was me. He's like, yeah, you're right. And just does.
Yeah, there's no real. Okay, so like, you know, Gary Oldman's like jabbing at his personal. What did you say? Physician or whatever, his doctor throughout the movie. Never so much where you see the doctor really go like, oh my god, if I had the chance,
well,
I'd kill
you. I didn't
think
it was that at all. I thought it was more of like the he's making him be involved in these like murderous like crimes, like taking this guy down and do all this stuff.
They're paying him a lot of money, and the guy seems submissive.
That's the thing, is he didn't like give off enough of a vibe that I felt like it was.
That wasn't an earned thing.
I think they tried to plant that in your mind in one scene in a couple seconds, which, again, is the a way of them shoving another thing in here that they didn't flesh out very well, which was when he said, you are going to stay around for the dinner or the event tonight. And he goes, I'd prefer not to. And then Gary Oldman's character says,
prefer or won't.
Yeah, or won't. And then that was, and then he gives a look like, oh, don't make me, I'm scared.
Exactly. And then for him to make the decision, ah, I'm just going to kill your fucking ass now.
Well, I kind of understand it to the point
I understand it. I don't but we buy need to be the character making it, that decision.
Yeah. I understand why he would if I was in a, well, I'm not saying I would kill somebody, but being like having a normal human.
That guy deserved to die for sure.
You know what I mean? But being, having a human mind of like that kind of distress that a human would go through, but I want to see him go through it.
This might be a thing in the book, but when you look at the Wikipedia page for this, like the plot synopsis for this movie, Gary Oldman's character, if I'm not mistaken,
you're always mistaken, I'm sorry,
is a wealthy child molester. Do they ever bring up that he had molested children?
Yes.
Okay, so I just missed a line of dialogue there.
There were like two. So basically, when he was like,
the cockroach came in.
Have you been? No, this was earlier in the movie.
Yeah, I know.
He's like, when he was talking to Starling, and he was like, have you ever been saved by God or whatever? And then he was like, when I was, or he said something, and then she said, there are no needs to get into your,
I had my subtitles on in this movie.
She was like, there's no need to get into the sexual allegations or something like that. And then later, when he was, or not much later, I think it was in that same dialogue, he was talking about how he would, Hannibal was telling him to smile, and he was like, how he could understand, or show me your smile, how you get the kids to trust you, is basically what he said, something like that. And he's like, oh, I see it now, I see. And then he's like, keep doing it. And that's, he's like tearing off his face and all this kind of
right,
stuff.
Right.
So I was like, okay, so this guy, and I got it from that point on. Right, so yeah, you just missed those.
Gotcha. Yeah, I just missed
but
that.
But this was a subtitles movie, which, again, for this
only
movie...
Only that guy's character, though. Everybody else I thought was fine.
For this movie, I think hurts it. There are reasons that subtitles, which we spoke about in one of our last episodes, but there are also reasons that if you have to have dialogue hurts, or have subtitles hurt the movie. In certain aspects, I think you should be able to hear what's going on without them. And I think this one was one that you should not have had to, but I did, and it helped me. So, but that's my opinion on that.
One other thing. So going back to like the whole Italy scene, part of this movie, the opera that they go to is super fucking creepy. You remember that? It's like at night, it's like foggy. In like wherever they're at,
I have nothing to say about it besides I've never been to an opera, so maybe that's what they're
like.
So
I've been to one opera, and it wasn't in Italy, so I don't know. But it was just here, and it basically was just like there was a symphony, like orchestra.
I would never,
and there were people on stage. I didn't go purposefully. And then there were the opera singers would go out, and they weren't like fully acting; they were just mostly singing. So what they were doing in this was clearly different, but like they had painted faces and they were like a couple tits were out and it was like all foggy and weird. And like, it just seemed way more culty than opera-y. And I was like, what is this? Why is a detective going to these? This is like high society opera shit. And like your local cop, I mean, I don't know what they do in Italy, but I assume it's, you know, didn't he seem a little too fancy for all that?
I don't know. His wife seemed like she was one of those people that,
but like their house
like-
was like kind of weird and old and kind of nice looking. And it's like, he's just a, you know, he's a detective. They're not known for making a lot of money. it was just a small thing. This is tidbitty stuff. But I remember thinking when I was watching, I was like, this is weird. Why is he so involved with like all this history culture bullshit? I don't know.
And then there, the moment where she, after she got shot and she was being driven back to the house, and there was like flashbacks of different things for her, and it showed an image of a lamb. I hated that. I don't know why, but you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I literally put heavy-handed. Lambs were doing that again, is what I put in my notes. I was like,
I don't dislike the lamb metaphor in Silence of the Lambs, but bringing it up here, I don't see how it connects.
It's just like, remember, this is Silence of the Lambs.
That's how I felt about when they had the tapes too from their conversations that she's listening to. I'm like, okay, yeah, we get it. You are a much worse sequel to a much better movie.
There are a few parts towards the end, like you said, the last 30% of this movie that gave me more of the creepy vibes.
In his house, I guess it's Ray Liotta's house, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, where they have like the dinner thing with Hannibal and stuff like that. That's probably the best part of the movie, right? It's ridiculous, but I think it's probably the best part.
Yeah, there were moments in that where that felt like it was definitely like creepy and like really made me feel like I don't like this in a way that I think it should have. So
and it
there's
explores
that.
The relationship even deeper, and especially the way that he leaves, because Starling handcuffs herself to him.
Yeah,
and then he decides to chop his own hand off
so
opposed to
dumb.
Hers. So
why did he not chop the handcuffs?
Huh? Chop straight through metal?
The chain in the middle of the handcuffs.
You think? I mean, I never would have thought that like you would have been able to break the chain in handcuffs with a knife. No, I'm just saying.
It was a massive meat cleaver. I definitely think you could chop the thin chain of handcuffs with a meat cleaver just as easy as your own bones. Your hands.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. Fair. I mean, you know, meat cleaver is more.
And at the end, I literally had to say, I was like, did he chop his own hand off? Like, it just, I don't know. It just.
So that's not what I was thinking at all.
What?
Why didn't he cut the chain? That never popped into my mind. I mean, it's pretty hard to get out of hand. Like, people talking about it takes 10 minutes to saw. And stuff like that. I don't know. That'll be a discussion for a later date because it'll take us too long to find that out. But yeah, I wasn't thinking, why didn't he just cut through the...
That's the first thing I thought.
That's so funny. But obviously, you're supposed to think that he's going to cut her hand off, and he ends up cutting his own, which goes into the idea that it's more important to him than anything else, than hurting her. Like, having that relationship open with her, the cat and mouse, is more important to him than... having a hand, which I was kind of thinking, would he eat his own hand? You know, like, would he bring his hand like on the plane and like have it for a snack? You know what I mean?
That's the other issue I had with this movie. He was on a commercial flight.
Yeah, I know.
He got through customs on a commercial flight.
Well, how did he even escape in the first place? He had all those cops and a helicopter showing up. It's nighttime. You see a boat. And you see that, like, that's clearly, like, oh, he took the boat because they're on a shore, which I don't know.
And then they see the boat.
I'm pretty sure they're on a lake, not even, like, they're not in the ocean.
He said he was going to his lake house. So
yes. So, and then, obviously, he's not in the boat. So, he just ran? He's just, like, running? that would have been too... I was thinking, you do see a car driving on the bridge the opposite way of the cop cars when they're coming over. But I'm pretty sure that was before he left. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't like it when characters just Batman disappear.
Unless they're Batman.
Yeah, pretty much unless they're Batman. Yeah. When they just like, oh, I got away.
The fact that I was like, he's on a plane with other people. Now,
and
like you said, not to make this super dour, but this was before 9/11. And apparently customs for airplanes were not as...
super lax pre-9/11.
But it's not about, like, scanning what he's bringing onto the plane. It's that there is still security.
Yep.
And you would still think before getting on a commercial flight, they'd be like, oh, that's Hannibal Lecter. Top 10 most wanted, well-known cannibal. Like, what?
It had been 10 years since he had been well-known.
Whatever.
At least 10 years. I'll give it to you. It seemed like long enough for them to say, stop doing all flights. Hannibal Lecter is on the loose. He'll probably try to get on a plane. Like, that feels pretty... Yeah, so it's dumb.
It had been long enough, but yeah, they were chasing him for days. So he was very much back in the news, very much back on the top 10 most wanted.
Right.
Forget the last 10 years.
I don't know what they're trying to imply with this conversation he has with the kid at the end, like basically the last scene of this
movie.
That
we're all cannibals. I'm kidding.
Yeah, it's like, you know, this kid is like interested in eating... brain. And it's like, you're special, aren't you? And like, you know, kind of
the kid is special. The fact that he said everything else looks gross, but he goes, that looks good. Dude, it's a brain, bro.
Dude, yeah, I was about to say, if I know anything about the kids, is that they only like chicken nuggets and peanut butter jelly sandwiches, because that was me as a kid.
Brain.
Yeah. That was like in, you know, probably cold too. You know what I mean? Like, man.
Yeah, so that whole... Hannibal sucks.
Damn.
Not just the movie. I'm talking like the character at this point, which I hope that's what we're supposed to feel, because, you know, at the end, like, he's just like...
We're not supposed to feel that he sucks. We're supposed to be like morbidly curious about how, like, you know, creepy, but also
like
clever.
I'm sorry, but also because of how much I just like don't care about, like, didn't care about this movie. Like, watched I wanted those pigs. I wanted something to happen to him. I wanted him to eat his feet or him just die. I was like, just kill him. Just kill him. Let's let it happen.
That's not what you're supposed to feel.
But
because
exactly.
You're not supposed to want Hannibal to die because once he dies, he's what keeps all this together. He's the interesting thing. I mean, without him, Starling is just a good FBI agent.
But again, I don't care enough. I don't like it doesn't. And at the end, again, sure, that house scene was creepy, but like pushing, like what pushed it over the line for me, which I'm sure you're supposed to feel this way, but like when he like kisses her, I was like, yo, screw you, dude. Like, I want you to die, bro. Like, just...
That doesn't feel like him.
Just... It's like, you really abuse her now. Just get out of here. Yeah. That's really what just put over the top where I was like, dude, just... I'm glad... Let's put it this way. I'm glad the next movie is a prequel in a weird way. Like, yeah. I don't care what it... I just... Man, this movie was so...
It seems
worse than the first. And
that, yeah, it's definitely worse than the first. That's... No debate. But it does seem strange that like this movie almost wants them to have, again, I'm going to make another Batman reference, a Batman-Joker relationship where like Joker loves Batman because that's like where how he sees fun and like all the chaos and the chase of it. And Batman just wants to stop Joker because Batman's just good.
That's how I felt.
That's how it is. But that's not the vibe you get from Silence of the Lambs. You know what I mean? That's not.
I got
you
a little bit of that at Silence of the Lambs.
To a tiny, it's almost
because
it's
like
more
he's
like,
playing with her, and he almost needs
somebody
to do that
with. In this movie, he views her as an equal, and Silence of the Lambs doesn't do that at all. He's like surprised by her intelligence, but at the end of the day, he's just a little bored. She's interesting, and she's different than what he's used to. All these like kind of like overly confident,
like in this movie, I guess,
cop,
yeah,
you know, yeah. Other psychologists, especially the other guy that he ends up going after at the end of the first movie. But like, it's very much like I'm in control. You're fun, but as soon as you become a problem, you're gone. Not like we're equal, and I need you, and I'm in love with you. No,
yeah, and it feels like he abuses her in a way that wasn't done in the first movie. I feel like he abuses her in ways now that I don't want to forgive.
It's almost like he's trying to weirdly impress her in this movie, and I don't like that at all because it doesn't feel like he should give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I feel like he abuses her in ways in this one that just makes me like just not want to forgive him. Like, I just don't care anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I said, like at the end, like of the first one, you almost like, not that he's the protagonist, the good guy, but like feel for him a little bit, like more of that curious feeling.
Well, it's not that
you're
it's not that you want to feel for him or forgive him or but you want him to win because he's clever. And
well, again, like I said, at the end of the last movie, I said there was a little bit of that. Like you almost feel a little sympathetic for him. You humanized him a little bit, and they're able to do that from a cannibal. So it's like, okay,
right? That's like part of the interesting part. This movie doesn't do that at all, unfortunately. Yeah, it's just a bit of a shame that this went the direction it did, and it's just this hot mess of a movie.
Yeah.
But you know, weird face guy. And pigs, Italy.
Weird face guy, pigs, Italy.
Yep.
And man chops his own hand off, I guess.
And the brain thing.
Yeah.
Seeing his like brain cap come up, and he's like, "This is my favorite part." And Ray Liotta's like, "Woman bad." It's just what a fucking scene, I guess.
That is the end of my discussion.
Yep.
I don't have anything else.
Nope, that's it. Not a lot of redeeming qualities in this one. If you watch this because of us, like Tyler, or mostly because of me, sorry. I think it's still kind of fun to watch. I don't know. I had fun watching it again because the bad parts are so bad. They're funny, and what I like about the series and as a whole, there's still a little bit there for me to tie onto, but that's subjective. Objectively, this movie's bad.
Let me put it this way: for you, that has enough for you to hold on. Like, I feel like if we were just watching the movies for first time, new series coming out, you'd be like, "All right, let's go watch this last one." I would say I'm not watching this last one. I don't care.
Wow,
like, I just would not.
Well, you're going to.
That's the thing is, this is the only way that I'd be watching like these movies. So sorry to disappoint you because I know at the beginning you're like, oh, I'm excited to see how you feel about these, which I can at least, like I said.
The only other crime thriller that I'll try and show you at some point, which down the road, would be Zodiac because I like Zodiac a lot. It's similar to this, as far as similar to Silence of the Lambs anyway, but it has Robert Downey Jr. and Jake Gyllenhaal, which might push a little bit over, and it's much more mystery heavy. It's not like graphic, you know, at all, really. Yeah. So that would be like my last ditch effort as far as like this genre, you know what I mean? but yeah, that's pretty much it. We'll be finishing up with Red Dragon. I don't know why I said that like Tony from Shining.
In the meantime, follow us at That's Movies Brother on Instagram. Follow me at Tyler C. Gillette on Instagram. I got my YouTube channel. It's Tyler Gillette.
Wow.
And on YouTube, we have a video coming soon. That's not the podcast. It is our...
It's us doing stuff, not podcast.
Trivia.
But movie related.
Trivia. Movie trivia. So stay tuned for that, and until next time, we will see you on the next episode of that. Oh wait, no, it's not, because it's our last episode. So bye forever.
Last episode forever. Thanks, guys. See
thanks
me
for
on
everything.
Fear Factor. I'm taking Ludacris's spot.
Is he doing that?
Yeah, he was, at least for a bit.
I don't watch
Corona.
Fear Factor.
No one did. Yeah.
All I watch is American Ninja Warrior.
Bye bye. All right.